This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
I've got a bone to pick. Number one, so for those of you who have not heard our new segment that we debuted on Friday here on the show at 1:45, and we plan to do so here in the future, we call it Token Post. And what it is we basically will play certain games that night with just tokens. It's just all for fun, us within the show. We all started with 100 tokens. You can bet a minimum amount of 10 tokens. If you want to go all in, that's fine. But once we're out of tokens, you basically have to buy your way back in by performing a task that is presented to you by the other members of the show. So we all give ours yesterday. I took Kansas plus the 8.5 at Baylor, by the way. Wow. Last second bank shot that actually covered that game. How about Saber? He went NHL. He took the Knights minus 1.5 goals. They came back. They won 4-2 over the Coyotes. Well, you had Pat. Unfortunately, Pat took Louisville there at home against Florida State, and they got blasted by the Seminoles. So, Pat, 0-2. How many tokens are you down now? 30?
I think 30, yeah. At this rate, by the weekend, I'll be out.
I don't even know why I'm laughing because I'm so angry. And then I go and I look across my phone. And Cole had taken the Knicks plus 9. You know, we're all using, you know, the same site there, and we're looking it up. Well, I didn't go to the NBA. I was sitting there on the college basketball lines and kind of deciphering, and I get, you know, Knicks win. And I'm going, wait a minute. And it's like 2:35 in the afternoon. We do this at 1:45. I'm like, well, that's the quickest game in the history of the NBA. Or wait a minute, maybe it's a doubleheader. Wait, they don't play doubleheaders in the NBA. There's no way that this happened. No, Cole actually went ahead and took a game at plus 9, knowing that the game was already over. Now, we didn't check him on it, but I mean,
what's the problem?
If we're gonna do this, Pat, I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, but I mean, that's a protest.
Protest. I actually asked. I double asked at the end of that. I double checked with everyone. I said, everybody good with that? And no one said a word about it. No one said anything.
I just take a man at his word.
I mean, if we're just going to make up games and lines, then for today's, yeah. I'm going to take Alabama against Ohio State plus 50.
Oh, no. The line was the Knicks plus 9 yesterday.
I like the Packers minus 6.5. I think that they're going to beat the Rams at home.
The line was on the
Packers
website.
Packers minus 6.5.
The line was on the website.
Was that end game, though? I mean, I think you were getting in the middle of the game, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the game was over when I took
it. The game was over. Yeah. I added up the timelines. Pat, what do you think about this? I mean, if we're going to do this, let's at least do it right, and Cole's already cheating. Don't play France here.
Hold on a second. How is the line made up, though? Like, you two are alleging. How was the line made up when that was the line for the game?
You knew the outcome of the game.
Oh, no. It was just said that the line was made up. We're just going to make up lines now? That was the line of the game yesterday. The Knicks plus 9.
Well, I didn't say that you made up the line. I'm just saying that you knew the outcome of the game. No, we didn't double check you on it because we took you at your word. Are you like checking us on?
I mean, I check everything you guys put in. I was sitting there looking for hockey lines yesterday when Saber and Pat comes in Friday with some halftime over under yardage from a certain player. I'm like, yeah, I want to go for him. I'm going to go find that. I'm going to make sure it's legit. It was a game took place, and you guys can't even go look in the box scores to see if it's already been played? That's a you problem as far as I'm concerned. That's not my problem.
You can't go to the window once a game's been going and say, hey, I'd like to put this down.
You can go to the token post, though, apparently.
No, I did it yesterday.
You wagered.
No, I did.
You wagered
yesterday. That's the point. I did. No one knew that
you're
the game had already taken place.
You wanted. You came up with this, and so of course, the house always wins. That's why. I feel bamboozled.
It seems pretty simple to me that you guys had no idea that an NBA game had taken place. Therefore, that is not my problem. That you guys.
I know yesterday was a holiday, but no, you're typically not thinking of an NBA game, Cole, tipping at 11 a.m.
Well, on that day, you are.
I don't know. Maybe we throw out our listeners.
Ask them.
Frame it for us. You ask them right now. You're the guy who cheated.
No, we don't want to give him an additional chance to weasel his way out of this.
No. Go ahead, Cole.
Is Cole, the question should be, is Cole wrong for cheating at Token Post. Now, that's the way it should be. That's what we're framing it.
No, because that's your frame. The question should be, do I deserve credit for the win last night in taking a team that won and covered? Because that's what I did. I took a team
with the spread
that was offered, and that team covered that spread.
Should
you
after
be awarded?
It was over.
Yeah, after the game had already been decided and you knew the outcome, Nostradamus. Yeah, so don't frame
you know
it that way.
You know what's funny about that? You guys didn't know the outcome somehow, and I did.
I'll be honest with you. I have not
turned
the page.
I don't get Knicks updates on my phone.
Yeah, I haven't turned the page to the NBA yet.
Once again, feels like a you problem.
No, it's not a me problem. I didn't misrepresent myself to the public.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if Landrum would have done it, you would have thrown Landrum under the bus
and then ran the bus
over him three or four different times.
Yep, absolutely.
We'll put the poll up.
No, it's different when you cheat and you pull nefarious shenanigans. Here in a, you know, this was going to be a fun segment, and I love how you're already creating controversy and strife within the group.
Like there's only two out of these four that seem like they're really agitated by this, and that's you and John.
No,
so,
I think Pat, you could just hear it in his voice. I mean,
I think Pat's like, Pat, you know what, it happened, it's over.
To be completely honest, I wish I'd have thought of it. I'm pissed off that I didn't think of it first.
There you go. See? An honest man.
I'm more annoyed with myself because I was watching ESPN earlier, and I guess they went to a live cut-in, but I thought it was a highlight. And so I'm like, the Knicks and Magic.
I was like, okay, that was last night.
And then when you said, I was like, oh, wait, I thought they played. Oh, maybe that was just, okay, well, whatever.
So that's two out of three that admitted it's a them problem.
Well,
and not a
full
me
transparency,
problem.
I'm watching the Baylor-Kansas game last night, and I needed Kansas plus the 8.5, and they're trailing by 15 with like a minute and a half to go, and I was cussing you, Cole. Oh, I was cussing you because I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, I'm going to go 0-2. In this stupid token post, and Cole has already cheated, and he's claiming 10 tokens. And we were talking NFL, recapping the weekend of playoff games, and then the news broke from several news outlets that Jeremy Pruitt would be fired. He was fired. The announcement that Phil Fulmer would be retiring. Then we got a very entertaining press conference at 2 o'clock following us as we went off the air. And in case you missed it, no worries. We're going to give you the highlights of what was it was kind of like watching a train wreck, Cole. I guess that would be the best way to do it. You know, everybody loves a good train wreck, and we watched it yesterday about 2 o'clock.
I was baffled at some of the things that I heard in that press conference, the way it was handled, the misguided comments that came from that press conference yesterday were – honestly laughable in a lot of instances, and this thing is about to take a turn for the worse. It's about to get really ugly for Tennessee athletics in the very near future.
And it's just amazing that Philip Fulmer has done that for the majority of his career, and he is going to get out the door without any of this sticking to him, which is another amazing Teflon Don situation for Philip Fulmer. And again, we'll go over a little bit more in detail with the exact verbology that he had yesterday during that press conference. But it just, Landrum, it's just a scratch of the old head of where this program is right now and where it's potentially going in the next couple of years.
Well, I framed it that way for you guys yesterday when the news came out on Fulmer. I told you guys, I said they were going to try to protect him and protect his, quote, legacy there at Tennessee. And that's all it was. I mean, we got. You know, what the allegations were, the reasons that decisions were made. He said, I don't want to, you know, be an athletic director when I'm 80. I expect the next coach to be here for 10 seasons or longer, which I feel like is a big ask, not only just given the state of college football and how long, you know, coaches stay at one place, Nick Saban being the exception, but also just given the track record at Tennessee, having somebody just stay there. But nonetheless, yeah, it was a prop-up Philip Fulmer press conference, and they wanted to make sure that everybody knew that Philip Fulmer, his hands were clean in this whole deal, Cole, which I think a lot of people are really skeptical that he had no idea that any of this was going on.
Why would you even go out and say you want the next head coach to be there for 10 years? I understand the wishful thinking aspect of that, but like you said, that's just it's such a rarity in today's college football. I would just kind of be hoping for some stability first and foremost, but you know, going out there and proclamating that your next coach is going to be one of the longest tenured coach in the conference in the last few decades, that just seems nonsensical. But again, there were a lot of things that came out of this press conference that seemed that way. And the lack of leadership, or at least misguided leadership, the leadership that doesn't understand which direction to go, is pretty obvious there in Knoxville. And it's not real surprising that some of the things that are now going to happen, that they're now going to be faced with, are coming their way, because there's obviously some people that either don't know where the leadership is coming from and where things are being directed from, and then either don't care, or they know and they're trying to cover it up, and there's a good chance now that it's going to get exposed.
Well, and again, you just go back to this Tennessee program and where it's been. Philip Fulmer was involved in a lot of things when he was a head coach at the University of Tennessee. And during that time frame, the SEC probably saw more mudslinging back and forth amongst its programs than you've ever seen before. I mean, this is when everybody started turning everybody in. The NCAA basically opened up a satellite office down in the Southeastern Conference footprint. It was ugly. And for some odd reason, it never stuck with Tennessee, ever. And I'm not proclaiming that they're going to get nailed here by the NCAA, but all the indications are that they're going to make somebody be the scapegoat, and it most certainly is not going to be their beloved head coach from 1998 who won a national championship.
Yeah, and when you start looking at details, and this is starting to come out, and it came out after the press conference, of some of the allegations that are out there, a multitude of Level 1 and Level 2 recruiting violations, and I found it just absolutely hilarious. I belly laughed when I heard Philip Fulmer, with a back and forth of one of the reporters that was asking him a question and asked him how would he describe Jeremy Pruitt's time there at Tennessee, and he highlighted all the great recruiting that was done there. And you have allegations of rampant recruiting violations that are out there, and that's the way that you respond. I mean, if anybody needed an FU coach yesterday, Cole, it was the chancellor and it was Philip Fulmer before they got there behind that table and answered all of those questions on that stage.
It was just tone deaf. It was completely tone deaf. The entire message that was delivered in that press conference, it lacked awareness in so many different departments. Frustrating to watch it. And again, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today, frustrating for the players there in Knoxville, because they have been dragged through this and they're going to continue to have that done to them through the rest of this process, which is probably going to include a postseason ban. It's going to include some reduction in scholarships, and very difficult for the teams that they're going to be competing on the next few years to actually go win a bunch of games. So I think it's unfortunate for them, because this administration knew what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing. They were allowing players to transfer in. They were allowing for coaches to be hired, and they were allowing for guys to not go to the draft or not transfer out and think that things were going to be okay, and then things aren't okay. So if you're Hendon Hooker or Big Cat Bryant or one of these guys that rolled in, you either knew and you didn't care, or you got to be looking around thinking, what the hell is going on right now?
Then I'm all gravy, baby.
I think anything that involves Pablo Escobar and Colombia and cocaine and cocaine trafficking back in the day is interesting, right?
Yeah.
Some of what happens to some of the people involved could easily end up being the worst thing that I've seen. But I'm always a sucker for it. Cocaine cowboys, Escobar, anything. I mean, I'm all in usually. But I did not know the story of the cocaine hippos. Are you guys familiar with the cocaine hippos?
I am. That was a band from the 70s.
I had not heard their tracks. Not familiar. Hadn't seen the tape on that. But I'll take your word for it. But hippopotamuses were brought to Colombia as a part of Escobar's private zoo at his ranch in the late 80s and early 90s. Hacienda Nopales. Now, they have bred so successfully that there's serious concern over their environmental impact and human safety. This is according to a study by researchers at Mexican and Colombian universities. The hippos have spread out from their original home some 100 miles east of the city of Medellin. They dispersed around the Magdalena River Basin, and their population continues to grow steadily. Authors of the study that was published in January recommend the hippos be culled to prevent long-term negative effects. Other scientists are calling for a castration program to control the hippo population. That sounds effective. However, from 2011 to 2019, pay attention here, folks, four males were castrated and two females were sterilized. But, quote from the story, this does not seem to have an important impact on reproduction.
What?
Cool.
So
the recruiting was good.
So good. So a hippo can, well, I guess, but long term, because it, what do they claim? I guess when and I've never had it done, but when a guy gets,
I think
snipped,
it would result in short term.
Yeah, but when a guy gets snipped, what do they tell him? You're still, you know, technically could maybe reproduce after, like, for a certain amount of time, right? Until it all kind of naturally works its way out.
I think vasectomy and castration are very different, but yeah, that may be my understanding is not what it needs to be. But
I don't know. I mean, are you familiar with the genitalia of a hippo? I'm not.
No, but I'm also not familiar with castration. I thought you were going to go there and tell you that Rick Trickett did that at Mississippi State. Not at Auburn.
Jackie Sherrill.
Not at Auburn, correct.
Yes.
I was not present for that. The study cites that research showing negative effects of hippo waste on oxygen levels in bodies of water. That can affect fish and ultimately humans. It has raised concerns about the possible transmission of diseases from hippos to humans as well. They also pose a threat to the livelihoods and security of people in affected areas. The study said eating or damaging crops and engaging in aggressive interaction with humans is something that's become regular. The researchers cite incidences of hippos chasing people, as well as a hippo attack in May 2020 in which a 45-year-old man was seriously injured. Now, while the study's authors recommend a cull, Enrique Zerda Ordonez, a biologist at Columbia's National University, believes castration programs are the way forward. I'm just going to take you guys back to an earlier quote from the story, which states, from 2011 to 2019, four males were castrated, two females sterilized, and that, quote, does not seem to have an important impact on reproduction. I'm going to keep coming back to that because, honestly, I have no idea how that works, or guess doesn't work, or works when it's not supposed to work.
Cocaine hippos.
Did you ever think this guy, he thought his biggest quote of his life was going to be, castration is the move forward? Is the way forward?
I think maybe you're doubting his skill set if you just think that's the biggest quote of his life.
I think the hippos are doubting his skill set.
Probably. Sterilizing hippos, by the way, is no easy task.
I bet.
Mr. Zerda believes it is both possible and necessary to do so now before their numbers rise further. Now, I'm not here to judge the difficulty level in that particular procedure. But in the future, he says, when there are 400 or 500 hippos, it could represent a threat to the survival of other species that feed in the same areas. Now, worst thing I've seen is that David Echeverry Lopez, he heads forest and biodiversity at the Coronel Regional Environmental Agency. He told CNN, situation is delicate, quote, the option of killing them has always been on the table.
Just saying.
What?
So how many total hippos are we talking about?
I mean, they're thinking it could get to be 400 or 500. He brought one female and three males originally in the 80s. I don't know if
they
we have a
wild.
There are probably more than 80 apparently in the area today. That's up from just 35 in 2012, Pat.
Well, apparently the castration does not work.
Nope.
Well, I know he wanted exotic animals, but was this to protect,
doesn't seem
like
to have
his
an
cash?
Important impact on reproduction.
Was this like to protect his cash there on the farm? Because you know, a guy found his $600 million that was buried.
Hell no! He's just for fun. He did this for fun. He had his own zoo.
Have you seen my hippos? Look at that one.
By the way,
we castrated last.
Absolutely, 100% chance that he fed someone to hippos.
That we were just having Token Post Cole cheated, and we're getting your thoughts. Should he be awarded tokens for a game that he already knew had concluded? And I'm saying no. I'm saying that he shouldn't, but we'll let you decide. At the number three man front on Twitter, 800-239-WJOX. Brandon is in Birmingham. Hey, Brandon.
Gentlemen.
Yes,
question
sir.
For you. Do the cheating Astros still have their World Series trophy?
Unfortunately, they do.
I believe they do.
Yeah, they do.
Okay. And the Patriots have got all those trophies that they stole signs on, right? So when people cheat and they win, we don't have a standard of taking trophies away from them. So
Reggie Bush doesn't still have that Heisman.
We like it. Well, the only reason that Reggie Bush doesn't have the Heisman is because he gave it up. He didn't fight for it. Cole's going to fight for these tokens just like he fought for that onion tooth and nail.
Preach it.
I was thinking about the actual McDonald's bags, by the way. Do you think there was an offensive lineman that was kind of disappointed that it didn't actually have
probably
food in it when he got that bag of cash?
Yeah, or like a nose guard.
I was really hungry.
For sure.
Like,
especially depending on when it was. Like if it was after the game, you know, you always get like your meal after the game. Maybe maybe you like ate light breakfast and you go through the game and you played a lot. You're just like, God, just give me that quarter pounder. I don't want $5,000.
Especially if it's like McRib. If it's McRib
just
month,
give me my food, man. Like,
I'm so hungry. Those fries. Golly, where's my food? We will go to the three-man front Twitter feed. We got some good responses coming in. Cole, it's always brought to us by
our friends at Royal Buick GMC. Not sure if you guys saw their tweet yesterday, but a new GMC Hummer's coming out soon, and it is going to be immaculate. If you want to begin your inquiries on how you could own one down the road, you can do that now with our friends at Royal Buick GMC. Joseph Blassingate tweets in, I call Cubic should have 190. Daryl Stevens tweets in, Landrum sounds like the little kid on the playground that didn't get his way and is going to take his ball and go home.
No, I'm not taking my ball and going home. Daryl, I'm actually going to take it out on Cole. And
RWC7 tweets in, Randy Cochran, got to give it to Cole. That was slick, but can't honor that with tokens. Make him make two bets today. JD tweets in, the token segment was kind of dumb, and now Cole has made it fun.
Another cheater.
Fletch tweets in, noted. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Isn't that the All Barn Creed? I haven't read that, but I will we'll Google that shortly and try to make sure. Reese tweets in,
Dietrich wrote that.
You can only blame whoever set the rules. It's like Cole lined up his punter at wide receiver. It's genius. It's too late. You can only change the rules now for future contests. You cannot change the fact that Cole won. U.S. Secretary of Common Sense, I feel like he's probably the best person to tweet in on this. He tweets at Cole Kubrick 1. At Cole Kubrick 1, at Pat Smith is right, pay the man. Chris Crow tweets, sounds like at Cole Kubrick used the Rubik's Kubrick. Maybe.
like the games that had already been played.
May have reconfigured it. May have reconfigured that thing. Thundercat tweets in, I think hashtag Thunder is showing at Cole Kubrick how to get ahead of the game. It's not at Cole Kubrick's fault that at Landrum Roberts, at Pat Smith Radio didn't do their homework. And maybe the most important into our Twitter feed today would be from Ryan Haney. At Ryan Haney tweets, Cole may have cheated, but he asked you guys twice. You accepted it. Science.
Oh, thanks.
Science.
When our boss is condoning now the cheating from Cole Kubrick in the token potion segment. That's fine. You should have just taken advantage. You know what? You should be kicking yourself that you didn't bet more than 10 tokens.
I admitted that in the last segment. That I was disappointed that I didn't go out.
That's what they call in poker a value bet, when you know you've got someone, but you want to know how much money you can get from them.
Based on the responses, like, we should honor it, but you should be ashamed, and you're not to be trusted. That's what I've gotten out of all this bet.
Walter tweets in, Cole, emoji thumbs up, emoji clapping hands, emoji trophy. JD tweets in, great job, Cole. Chuck Graham tweets in, I'm speaking for my fellow listeners when I say Landrum should quit badgering Cole. I just read the tweet.
How many times have we heard that? All right.
Matt tweets in, Echo Cuba, great job working the system. I mean, I'm feeling all right about this. Feeling pretty good. I'm going to start focusing in on tonight's game.
Is it tonight's game or was it last night's game?
No, it depends on what you guys know and don't know.
We will be checking. I mean, I'm gonna ask for every single detail about this game.
That's the three-man front Twitter feed, as always, brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. Visit them online, royalautomotive.net. And if you're looking for the 2021 Yukon Denalis, they're coming in weekly right there at Royal.
Yeah, Cole missed it. So this is Token Post, third time. Cole yesterday took his tokens, which we do, minimum 10 tokens. We play a game that night. You can go anywhere you want to go. Basketball, you want to go football if there's a game that night. Hockey last night for John Saber. You can place a wager. Yesterday he placed a wager on a game that had already been completed. Apparently, because we took his word for it, and I would think that we all do that. We're not going to do that anymore with Cole, that we should honor the bet, the wager. So I guess we will. Shame on us. It's not going to happen again. So, Cole, where are you going? Go ahead and get it out of the way.
I'm back to 80, right?
No.
90 tokens.
Yeah, 90.
90.
I'm going to go Towson plus one over UNC Wilmington.
Hang on. Let's find it.
It's going to take him the rest of the show to find it.
What time is the game?
I don't look at game times, man. I just look at the point spread.
Exactly.
It's Towson's plus one over UNC Wilmington. Felt like a good bet to me. So.
I'm sorry, I don't see it here.
That's wow. Because they're winning right now.
You cannot take that game. What is your next game?
I am actually going to take Tennessee minus 6.5 against the Florida Gators tonight at 7 p.m.
Okay, I actually know that game is happening. That game will be played in Gainesville. I'm going to check the line, though, real quick. No. It's not official.
Mm-mm. Not official.
No, I'm checking the line, make sure. Nope. Sorry. According to BetOnline.ag, Tennessee is a 7-point favorite as of right now. So we will take that wager. And how many tokens do you want to put on that for Tennessee minus the 7 or Florida plus the 7?
Well, why would I go to Florida? I said I was going to wager on Tennessee.
Okay. You still want them at minus 7?
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna go under 136 since you're trying to call me out. That's just what I had from when I looked it up earlier today. But I'm going to go under 136, and I'm going to go 20.
Yeah, under 136 is still accurate, Mr. Kublik, so we will accept that wager. How many tokens?
Okay, 20. Tennessee, number one ranked defense in the SEC, giving up 57 points per game. Field goal percentage under 39. They have not allowed an opposing player to score 20 points in a game this season.
20 tokens, under 136, Tennessee, Florida.
Florida 4-13 all time against top 10 opponents under Mike White.
Patrick Smith, where are you going?
I'm going to go the Mississippi State Bulldogs. I'm going to take them at home, 2.5 points against the Ole Miss Rebels. Tip-off time is at 8 o'clock tonight. So, again, Mississippi State minus 2.5. And I'm going to go 10 tokens.
10 tokens, State minus 2.5 playing there at the hump. For Pat.
And where are you right now, Pat?
85? I'm at 70.
70 tokens total. And once you run out of tokens, it becomes our decision. We make proposals of things you have to do to buy back in to the game. I am going to go to Baton Rouge, Alabama. It was a pick 'em at the start of the show. Now Alabama, a 1-point favorite. Of course, Trenton Watford. You got Smart. You got four guys for that LSU team in double digits, averaging around 86 points per game. Look at the total on this game, though, guys. Right now, over 164.5. That is a lot for college basketball. A lot. But I do think that Alabama gets it done. I like the Tide in Baton Rouge at 15 tokens. Alabama minus one over LSU.
There you go. It's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to watching that one tonight.
John Saber.
I am going to go back to the well. I would play the music, but we're kind of up against it right now.
Crap, I got
to
change screens.
I'm going back to the well. The Chicago Blackhawks are 0-3 in this young NHL season. They have been outscored 15-5 goals. I am going to take the Florida Panthers minus 1.5 with 30 tokens.
Oh!
Whoa!
I like it.
So 30
Panthers
tokens
minus
on
1.5 goals.
Florida Panthers
puck.
Minus 1.5.
That's pretty puckin' brave. All right. 7:08 they dropped the puck tonight.
Where are you at total, Landrum, right now?
I'm at 100, my friend.
Where is he, Pat?
100. Yep.
He said 100.
I got it written down. I'll go back.
You need to borrow some tokens?
I do not. Big winner last night. All right, so this press conference yesterday, guys, I'm sitting here wondering. I mean, I don't know, Pat, did you realize that Tennessee was nominating someone into their Hall of Circle or Circle
the
of Fame?
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, whatever they, I don't even know
the
what they call
Smoky
it.
Smoky Mountain
there,
Ring of Honor in Gatlinburg?
Oh, yeah, no. I've got proof. I can let you guys hear it. I don't know if you guys know about Philip Fulmer, but they wanted you to know yesterday, and this is how it sounded.
Philip and I also discussed the need to search for a new head coach as soon as possible. In the course of that discussion, Philip concluded he thought it best and suggested that a new coach and a new athletic director form a partnership that could provide long-term stability and success for our football program. And he suggested that I hire a new athletics director to select the new head football coach. Philip came out of retirement to take his current position and never intended for it to be long term. Philip has offered to bridge the gap and stay in his position until a new athletic director is ready to take over. But I do want to emphasize this. Philip Fulmer is demonstrating why he's a legend at UT.
Okay.
I was
just let me before we all sort of, I mean, Pat said he wasn't aware that we were apparently nominating someone into our Ring of Honor. Did we get to the legacy of Fulmer there, John? Was that a part of that one, or do we still have that?
I want to echo Chancellor Plowman when she said about the incredible legacy of Philip Fulmer. Coach, this university owes you a deep debt of gratitude for all that you've done to make the Volunteer Nation proud. We're as proud of you today as we were that night in Tempe when you hosted that trophy above your head. You have never stopped working to make your university better, and our values that you have made, you are a great ambassador for Tennessee. Our overall athletics program is better and on a more equal footing because of your leadership.
Oh, boy. So we are going all in. And so if they obviously we know now how we think of Philip Fulmer. Is he going to help find the new athletic director, you guys think?
If Chancellor Plowman asks me to, I'll be glad to help. She asked me to.
Okay. So
nice
now,
of him to do.
Now that we know what everyone thinks of Phil Fulmer there in Knoxville and the high regard and high esteem and the pedestal that he has been placed on, better be a strong one, by the way, that we're sitting back here and thinking about why this is all taking place. So you start to think about integrity. Philip Fulmer obviously has integrity. However, there are some folks who believe that one of the reasons that Jeremy Pruitt's no longer the head coach is because integrity starts at the top.
Integrity starts at the top. And she understood the only way to handle this matter was to let the independent investigation take its course without interference.
Okay, so here's my where I get a little bit confused on this, guys, is if first, let's go a little bit further with the integrity part and starting at the top here, because not only did they go that far, but they also wanted to point out that Jeremy Pruitt is the one who led all of this and apparently was the mastermind in all of this and the leader of this program.
Coach Jeremy Pruitt is the leader of the football program. He is responsible for hiring assistant coaches and the staff and making sure that those who report to him comply with the NCAA rules. This is written into his employment contract. In addition, under the NCAA bylaws, he is presumed responsible for the actions of all staff members who report to him, either directly or indirectly.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to interrupt you there. You just went on a diatribe as to how Jeremy Pruitt is the leader of the program and everything that happens under his umbrella is his fault. But I had to sit through your 11 minutes of telling me how great Philip Fulmer is. Who falls under Philip Fulmer's umbrella? The head football coach does. Why are there differences in responsibility as far as being the leader of a program and having integrity that starts at the top? How can one man who is in a position of leadership and power be remembered like that night in Arizona, holding that trophy over your head?
Tempe.
And another man be responsible for every single thing that everyone is doing inside the athletic department. Yet other man who hired man is just remembered for his legacy and his greatness.
But Cole, he wasn't hands-on. Philip Fulmer was. It's not like he ever went to the practice field and led offensive line drills.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I mean, he doesn't even like football. He was paying attention to the other sports. So, no, he can't be held accountable for any of this. It's all
when
Jeremy.
When I spoke to you guys earlier about the misdirection of leadership in Knoxville right now, this is exactly what I was referencing, in that you have people at the top of this system academically who are praising a man who hired another man, yet audibly tearing down the man who was hired by the man who they are now praising and throwing no responsibility to whatsoever. It kind of boggles my mind that you can take an individual and put him at that table with you, praise him, praise his legacy, praise the things that he's done, all the things that he has meant to you, yet the man who he hired and put in place and he assisted and he went to bat for and he gave an extension to, what, 6-8 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to sit back and you're going to tear him down and say, no, integrity starts at the top. You're the leader of the program. Everything that happens falls under your umbrella. And then... I'm sorry, John, but to just kind of put a little bit of a bow on this, the man who has then been praised and placed on said pedestal and in whatever Hall of Fame he was up for in this press conference is asked about what was good during the Jeremy Pruitt era in which we are having a press conference now for to fire him. What was good about it? But keep in mind why he's being dismissed. And this was his answer.
We found the program, you know, in quite a mess at the time. I think we definitely have upgraded the program in general, relationships on campus, relationships period. Certainly the recruiting has been... It's been good.
I'm sorry, excuse me, what? Come again? Pardon? Con permiso?
It's been good.
Did you say it's been good?
It's been good.
This entire ordeal is happening because the recruiting was wrong.
It's been good.
Huh?
It's been good.
When?
It's been good.
Where?
It's been good.
How?
It's been good.
What?
Three Man Front. Weekdays 10 till 2 on Jocks 94.5, JocksFM.com, and the Jocks mobile app.